This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump on the campaign trail again, stumping for Republican candidates last night in Montana.
And in just 19 days, the people of this incredible state are going to send Matt Rosendale to the U.S. Senate to protect your jobs and protect your Second Amendment, which is under siege.
Turkish officials reportedly expanding their search for a missing Saudi journalist who is now presumed dead. Unnamed Turkish officials telling the BBC police believe the body of Jamal Khashoggi may have been disposed of in a forest north of Istanbul. Khashoggi has been missing since he entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd and was never seen again. Turkish officials say he was murdered there. This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
The annual Al Smith dinner in New York City last night, raising money for needy children. Keynote speaker, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley.
Everyone in Washington called me with advice about this speech. They all said the same thing. Do not, under any circumstances, make any jokes about the president. So good night, everybody.
Thousands of people are marching towards the U.S. border as they flee Central America, and President Trump is threatening to cut foreign aid to countries that don't turn back the caravan. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is scheduled to meet today with the Mexican president. The State Department says the U.S. is looking for some concrete results from that meeting. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot nearing $1 billion. And tomorrow's Powerball jackpot's up to 430 mil. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is not going to attend a planned investment summit in Saudi Arabia. Mnuchin making the announcement on Twitter today after meeting with President Trump yesterday and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The Saudis are under growing pressure to explain how and why Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi disappeared. The co-founder of Facebook says repealing the Trump tax cuts could pay for a $500 monthly worker income. Chris Hughes, speaking on CNBC, saying less than a third of Americans have reaped the benefits of the Trump tax cuts. Meanwhile, he says the cost of living, including health care, housing, and education, has all risen. On Thursday, Senator Kamala Harris of California introduced a bill that would provide monthly payments of up to $500 per month to lower-income families on top of the payments they already get. She proposed repealing the Trump tax cuts to pay for it, the co-founder of Facebook essentially announcing that they support that plan. And Britney Spears returning to Sin City. The pop star announcing she has a new residency in Las Vegas, kicking off in February. She'll reportedly earn over $500,000 a show. becoming the highest paid Vegas performer. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. That's what you find here at the intersection of God and country. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And to this end, our next guest, Daniel Flynn, senior writer for the American Spectre, has a new book out called Cult City. As we look back on the Jonestown disaster that it became 40 years later. Daniel Flynn, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you here talking about Cult City, this book 40 years later. Wow, I mean, you really bring this back into perspective at a time when it's most needed. You know, the players that are involved are the same players involved today.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about someone like Dianne Feinstein, I mean, one of the two aspects of the book, one is the Jonestown tragedy, and the other is the Milt Busconi assassination. And what people don't realize is that the assassin in that case, Dianne White, was the protege of Dianne Feinstein. He is the person who made her the president of the Board of Supervisors, and then obviously later, by killing George Moscone, the mayor of San Francisco, and Harvey Milk, he makes her the mayor of San Francisco. So without Dianne White, there really is no Dianne Feinstein. I think what's interesting about that case is all these years later, from watching the Academy Award-winning movie Milk,
yes,
and the other documentary on Milk, is there's this stubborn idea that Dianne White was some kind of right-wing hater who killed Milk because of his homosexuality. Nothing could be further from the truth. Dianne White was, as I said, a Dianne Feinstein protege, is a guy who spoke out in favor of gun control, was essentially the public employees union's representative on the Board of Supervisors, was a Democrat, was sort of a middle-of-the-road Democrat, mm-hmm. and his chief of staff, campaign manager, business partner, who I interviewed, was a gay man. And so this idea that sort of lasted, that he killed Milk because of his homosexuality, there's no there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in typical form, I mean, Nancy Pelosi made it clear. I thought it was quite interesting here in the last couple of weeks. She's got a meeting with the with the media, and basically lays out the Democratic strategy that they've been working on. You know, she called it the wrap up smear, cleanup smear, whatever that she referred to it as. They light up the problem. They get the media involved to write about it. And as they do, it lends veracity to it, I guess. And, this is how they get rid of their opponents.
Yeah, and it works in reverse for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other part of the book is about Jonestown and how before the poor drank the Kool-Aid down in South America, the powerful mm-hmm. did in San Francisco, including Nancy Pelosi's brother-in-law, including Dianne Feinstein and Harvey Milk and others. What I mean by that is that Jim Jones, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that the same guy who killed over 900 people in South America, when he was in San Francisco, the mayor made him the chairman of the Housing Authority Commission. In other words, he was the largest, effectively the largest landlord in the city of San Francisco. And when you think about how he treated his tenants down in Jonestown, in Guyana, and the idea that there would be a major American city that would give this man a position of power, that's really scary.
It really is. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how did they get there? I mean, what was it about Jim Jones? I mean, we know that obviously he was very charming and influential, but to rise to that level and then, of course, then take his followers to Guyana, another deal. But how does he rise to the level governmentally?
Well, in San Francisco, if you needed a rent a rally, if you needed people to come to your speech and cheer wildly, if you needed campaign volunteers, Jim Jones was the guy to talk to because he could produce hundreds of people at the snap of his fingers because, you know, he essentially was running a cult, I guess, if you will.
Yes.
And so very quickly, he became very popular. And so you had a guy like Harvey Milk saying, "My name is cut in stone for you and your people. You know, I heard you once say, take one of us, take us all. Please add my name to that list." I mean, he was just saying these effusive things about Jim Jones. You have a guy like Willie Brown comparing him to Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Jim Jones killed more black people than any Ku Klux Klan member in history, and you had Willie Brown comparing him to Martin Luther King. They gave him the Martin Luther King Award in San Francisco at the time. When he goes down to Jonestown, this continues. You have Charles Gary, who was Huey Newton's lawyer, going down there, calling Jonestown a paradise. Lieutenant Governor of California went to Jonestown, visited, said he was so impressed with it. And so you had all these famous people, Jane Fonda, saying what a great guy Jim Jones was. And part of it was that Jim Jones was that, you know, unique kind of Christian minister who was, you know, basically echoing back to left-wingers their talking points. And so they really fell in love with the guy, aside from what they could do, what he could do for them politically, as far as giving volunteers and things like that. He was someone who was, you know, in favor of everything that they were doing, and then some. I mean, in People's Temple, it was the policy that women were to get abortions. It was sort of a forced abortion thing going on. He had made the declaration that everyone in the world, save for him, was a homosexual. And so all of these causes that were sort of brimming up in the Democratic Party at the time, he was taking it to an extreme even further than what some of those folks were doing.
Well, this is quite the project, you know, in terms of all these theories that the Democrats were moving toward, you know, towards socialism, all this, you know, behavior and philosophy born out of this seemingly. And I'm sure there's a lot of Christians that, you know, rankle at the idea that Jim Jones was any bit of a Christian just based on, you know, the things that he proposed. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, he was totally in conflict with the Word of God.
That's right. Well, I talked to some people I talked to many people who were down in Jonestown, and two of the survivors in particular told me a really jarring story. And I hesitate to even tell it because it's so blasphemous and jarring.
Mm-hmm.
But down in Jonestown, initially Jones confiscated everyone's Bibles. And then at a certain point, they ran out of toilet paper and he distributed those Bibles.
Unbelievable.
When you contrast that type of a behavior, throwing the Bible down on the ground, stomping on it, with what, say, the New York Times did after he killed all those people, they said he preached fundamentalist Christianity. I don't know too many fundamentalist ministers that are engaged in that kind of behavior. And so there was sort of a conflict between the way Jim Jones was described after Jonestown and his behavior prior to that event.
And, of course, this added to the cover that he got in terms of all these other progressives that supported him. And now because he's exposed, he becomes this, you know, this extreme, you know, right, very right of center, you know, type of individual, which, you know, he was more certainly left than he was right. But, you know, leave it to the media to write up the story. And thank God for Daniel Flynn 40 years later getting it straight and revealing the truth to us. We've got more from Daniel Flynn after this. Stay with us 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Right now.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You will never run away, you're forever mine. You will never run away, you're by my side.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
You will never run away.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent, and Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're visiting with Daniel Flynn, senior writer for the American Spectre. He's out with a new book titled Cult City. And I imagine, you know, for some of you that you're hearing, and this may be for the first time, some of the stories and the truth about whether it's Jim Jones or Harvey Milk and what's going on in the Democrats and their patterns. This is all consistent, okay? And we're looking back only 40 years ago. And so connect the dots to today and you see a pattern that is well-oiled, well-established, that involves the mainstream media, the Democratic Party, the hardliners, and even those, if you think the progressive left is a new phenomenon, this has been going on for quite a while. It's only now that they've seemed to have taken over more of the Democratic Party. This is no longer, JFK's Democratic Party, let me tell you. With Daniel, we're talking about, before, as we were mentioning earlier, before Jim Jones was exposed for the evil that he was, and after the death of 909 people, you have to remember that Jim Jones was a hero to the Democrats, right, Daniel?
He was. I mean, so much so that when the First Lady of the United States, or the future First Lady, Rosalynn Carter, came to San Francisco, she had Jim Jones introduce her. She called her, you know, in front of an audience. She called him on the phone. She put him in touch with her sister-in-law, Ruth Carter Stapleton, who was in the ministry. Mm-hmm. She ate with Jim Jones. When Walter Mondale came to San Francisco, one of the first people that he met with when he got off the plane was Jim Jones. This was a local Democratic power broker. And so when he got in trouble and basically fled to Guyana, You had people like Harvey Milk writing the president of Guyana, right, the prime minister of Guyana, the president of the United States. He claimed to the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, Joseph Califano, that Jonestown was alleviating the world food crisis. People were starving down there. They had to import food to the very end. And he was saying it was alleviating the world food crisis. He said it was a beautiful retirement community in which people would pay thousands of dollars to attend. All of those old people were killed down there, save for a couple that escaped. Yeah. This is the kind of propaganda that he was putting out for Jim Jones. And one of the reasons they were able to get away with it is because you had people like Willie Brown, Harvey Milk, and others saying what a great guy Jim Jones was to world leaders, and so they did not intervene. Jimmy Carter, Harvey Milk, wrote him and said that Jim Jones was a man of the highest character. Mm-hmm. This is the reverse of what is reality. So what gets me, and one of the reasons why I wrote this book, is because when you look at that Oscar-winning movie starring Sean Penn, there is no Jim Jones character. Right. This was the biggest thing that Harvey Milk did in his life. And it doesn't make its way into a biopic from Hollywood. It doesn't make its way into that documentary that won an Oscar from the 80s, narrated by Harvey Fierstein. They don't mention the alliance between Jim Jones and Harvey Milk at all. And that's the reason why I wrote this book, because there is this kind of false history that's being put out there. They want to make a secular saint of Harvey Milk. And so they have to airbrush away some of the things that don't really fit.
Well, again, this is a consistent pattern, is it not, that the Democrats have followed? They've been able to get away with it. And, of course, this is where, sadly, the mainstream media has done a disservice to we the people, because they have not documented history. They've been selective in their account of it.
And that's certainly true with Harvey Milk. I mean, one of the reasons why I wrote this book is about 10 years ago, I was on a radio program like yours, and we were talking about San Francisco. And a prominent gay man from San Francisco contacted me, said, I have to tell you something. And what he told me was really shocking. He said that in the 1970s, the early 1970s, he went out for a night on the town with Harvey Milk and some friends. And Harvey Milk was accompanied by a kid that he would put at between 16 and 18 years old. They couldn't get into the bars because of this kid's age. They split up. The next morning, this man found this boy beat up, bloody, bruised in Harvey Milk's doorway. And this was very early in the morning. He took the kid out to breakfast and said, what happened? The kid explained that Harvey Milk had raped him, had beat him up. And he believed it. He said, I didn't need to be a male gynecologist to figure out the rest. I know what happened.
Exactly.
This is a guy, the guy who told me this is a very prominent and successful gay man from San Francisco with no reason to make up the story. This is something that people don't want to hear because Milk has sort of been elevated to sainthood status. Mm-hmm. But even if you look at some books other than Cult City, some books other than my own, Randy Schiltz's book talks about Harvey Milk taking a 16-year-old kid off the streets of Manhattan, a runaway from, troubled kid who was a dropout, mm-hmm. and he becomes his lover. Harvey Milk being a 30-something-year-old man and this being a 16-year-old boy. And there's a number of cases like that where you have people, gay people, writing about Milk saying, you know, he was always attracted to boyish young men. And that was the pattern with him. So whether it's this event that occurred in the 70s, which sounds like a forcible rape, mm-hmm. or this other relationship, which took place in the 1960s, which was a statutory rape, I mean, that's something that you have to consider when weighing the legacy of a guy like Harvey Milk. Particularly in the age of the Me Too movement, that's something that people don't want to talk about. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, me being me, I felt like talking about it when I wrote the book Cult City.
Exactly. Well, and what you're sharing here, I had asked you earlier if you'd seen the movie Gosnell. The Gosnell pattern, same thing. Here is somebody who is protected by the Democrats. He was an abortion doctor. Of course, he ends up getting busted because he's writing illegal prescriptions. And he's got a business there. Well, the DEA and authorities, FBI, go in to search his premises, and they're checking him out because of drug abuse and the sale of drugs. And they find out that this guy is an abortionist. Well, of course, all under that guise, he had to be protected because abortion is a hot potato. And if you think not, we just saw it on full display with the Kavanaugh hearings.
Well, it's the same thing in the sense that someone is doing something very awful, but because they are, because the ends justify the means for certain people, mm-hmm. that they protect what they are doing. I mean, it got so bad in San Francisco that in 1975, Jones was accused of fixing the mayoral race, and they launched an investigation to see if he fixed the race. And lo and behold, who was in charge of the investigation? It's Jim Jones' second in command, who works in the district attorney's office. So that's how deep People's Temple had its hooks in the local power structure in San Francisco. And that's why you had all of these famous people, including Angela Davis and Huey Newton and Jane Fonda and Harvey Milk, Willie Brown, praising Jim Jones and saying what a great guy he was. What's part of the reason why I wrote this book is because when this tragedy happened in Guyana, when over 900 people were forced to take this poison, the moment that happened, Jim Jones ceased being a left-wing hero, and people started saying, well, these were religious zealots.
Exactly.
That's what the Associated Press said, that he preached fundamentalist Christianity. That's what the New York Times said. Walter Cronkite called them fascists, even though explicitly they were communists. And so you had this rewriting of history, and that, to a certain degree, that first draft of history stuck. But I think in recent years, people have looked at that and said, well, these people were not like that at all. They were teaching mm-hmm. their people Russian. They were planning to emigrate to the Soviet Union. They were giving out socialist tests where the inhabitants of Jonestown were graded on how well they do socialism. That's who they were in People's Temple. And there's been a concerted effort to sort of rewrite history. And what I try to do in Cult City is to correct the facts, to be a fact checker to what has gone on in the last 40 years in rewriting that history.
Well, in light of what is happening today with the high interest or increasing interest of socialism in this country, this book is going to be quite the eye-opener. Daniel Flynn, senior writer for the American Spectre, and his book, Cult City, which will be linked on our website and available at all the usual places. Thank you, Daniel.
Outstanding. Thank you.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump on the campaign trail again, stumping for Republican candidates last night in Montana.
And in just 19 days, the people of this incredible state are going to send Matt Rosendale to the U.S. Senate to protect your job and protect your Second Amendment, which is under siege.
Turkish officials reportedly expanding their search for a missing Saudi journalist who is now presumed dead. Unnamed Turkish officials telling the BBC police believe the body of Jamal Khashoggi may have been disposed of in a forest north of Istanbul. Khashoggi has been missing since he entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd and was never seen again. Turkish officials say he was murdered there. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
You call me out from the rain, so I can live like I've been changed. There is a new song in my soul, and it begins when I breathe in your word of life.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour as we continue our discussion of what we experienced last week and why so many of us are so uncomfortable as to what's going on. And that is attack on manhood, attack on males. My son, my number three son, called me and said, Dad, what am I going to do about Stephen? You know, Stephen's my grandson. Stephen's 5 years old. He goes, what am I going to do about my grandson, and you know, how do I protect him? It's like we set him aside and said, Stephen, don't touch anybody. you know, be careful. You any more the sensitivity about what was on display here? Let me read, because we're going to be talking with Dr. Warren Farrell. He is back with us, and you've heard me reference him many times, because in the middle of all this is. It's so appropriate what Dr. Farrell and John Gray have done for us in writing the book, The Boy Crisis. I'm going to read the inside a panel of the book here, and it starts out with Gail Shee. She's the author of Passages and Understanding Men's Passages. She says, as an activist in the women's movement, I am proud of expanding life choices for our daughters, but no one did the same for our sons until now. What is the boy crisis? It's a crisis of education. Worldwide, boys are 50% less likely than girls to meet basic proficiency in reading, math, and science. It's a crisis of mental health. ADHD is on the rise, and as boys become young men, their suicide rates go from equal to girls to six times that of young women. It's a crisis of fathering. Boys are growing up with less involved fathers and are more likely to drop out of school, drunk, do drugs, become delinquent, and end up in prison. That was drink, not drunk. Drop out of school, drink, do drugs. It's a crisis of purpose. Boys' old sense of purpose, being a warrior, a leader, or a sole breadwinner is fading. Many bright boys are experiencing a purpose void, feeling alienated, withdrawn, and addicted to immediate gratification. So what is the boy crisis? A comprehensive blueprint for what parents, teachers, and policymakers can do to help our sons become happier, healthier men and fathers, and leaders worthy of our respect. Dr. Farrell, welcome. Good to have you back with us. How are you,
sir? Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you last time. Looking forward to this.
Well, every time, we couldn't even, I mean, this is like the perfect storm here. I mean, we just went through a horrendous week in seeing what is going on in relevant to men, how, from commentary about six white male, not six, but 10, 11 white male senators interrogating a victim woman, and on and on, what was done to Judge Kavanaugh, the attack on his maleness, and on and on. I mean, parents, all weekend, Dr. Farrell, and I was looking forward to our interview and discussion because I know you can bring some sobriety to this. I mean, they're very, very concerned about where this culture stands right now.
You're absolutely right. I remember a wonderful, sad poem, a slam poem that won the Creativity Award for Hatch. It was by Royce Mann. And the slam poem went, I need to be a Peter Pan. I saw this the first time that a woman was in front of me and she looked behind me. She saw me. This boy is 14, by the way. Mm-hmm. And she crossed the street. I knew that then that I, my hands created fear, and that I was mostly an attacker. So here's a 14-year-old boy, obviously very brilliant, feeling the shame of not only his own hands, but also his own sexual urges that are natural and constructive and can be constructive. They can be destructive also. Mm-hmm. And rather than knowing and feeling that I need to know how to sort this out, how to work with women to be constructive in my sexuality, I am feeling ashamed of this. So this is the current atmosphere of so many boys who, when they go into college, especially in 50 out of 50 states, 26 of our states now require that before a boy on a date reaches, or not on a date, reaches out and touches the hand of a girl or woman that he's going out with, that he can be sued for sexual harassment because he didn't get affirmative consent. That is, he didn't ask the woman first, may I touch or hold your hand, and she didn't affirmatively say and consent, yes, you may. And of course, if she does affirmatively consent, yes, you may, and then it develops into a relationship, and then he breaks up and she doesn't want to break up, she can maybe remember that experience differently, that he was too assertive, mm-hmm. and she didn't say a real yes. And so if he doesn't give her a piece of paper to write down that she said yes, he's in a yes-no situation at a university. And at a university under the Obama administration, they made it extremely clear, and it's just beginning to be resurrected now from the Office of Civil Rights and the Department of Education, they made it extremely clear that if a woman said that she felt sexually assaulted, for example, if she got drunk in the evening and the following morning she regretted doing what she did, and she said, well, I really didn't consent in the evening because she maybe barely remembers it, she felt differently in the evening than she did when she realized she forgot to call her real boyfriend and let him know how she was feeling, and then she used that as an excuse. And of course, this is not what often happens. Sometimes it is true that men misuse their sexuality, and especially men in power, but this woman then can change that boy's life, because the university is not allowed, their investigators are not allowed, if the woman later says, actually, I'm sorry, I was giving an excuse, it was consensual sex, they were not allowed to put in the report that she then changed her mind and said it was consensual. The Obama administration said a woman's first a woman would never say something like this happened if she wasn't to be believed. So her original statement of man at fault must be believed. Mm-hmm. So boys now are getting two messages when they go to school, and I'm finding, like your your son, about mm-hmm. his grandson, there's real fear. And I have a grandson also, and he's just getting to the age where I can begin to talk to him about this. But we have two cultures operating here. One was the culture of Kavanaugh's adolescence, and the other is the culture of this hashtag Me Too. Mm-hmm. And so our sons are in the hashtag Me Too culture, and they don't know that in Kavanaugh's adolescence, there was a male-female dance that was a tango, and both sexes had their roles. Her role was attract-resist. His role was pursue-persist. Mm-hmm. And both sexes experienced sexual shame. So fraternities and sororities knew that getting drunk would allow them to have sex without shame, at least until the next morning. And in capitalist culture, the woman felt that if she didn't say no a few times between eye contact and intercourse, she wouldn't be respected. And it was his job to find out which no's meant no forever, which no's meant no until the next dance, the next drink, the next compliment, or just for a minute or two, at which point he might meet a greater receptivity if he tried again. And there was functionality in that for women, because they discovered that when a man got rejected, like if he became a future salesman, and if they got rejected, if he stopped at the first rejection, he was never going to be a very good breadwinner, never going to be a very good earner of income for the family. And so, on the other hand, if he got angry and furious at rejection, he was not going to be a good husband. Right. And so your son, or our grandson, has this type of dilemma. If he initiates too much, too soon, in the wrong way, with the wrong woman, with the wrong tone of voice, even at the wrong time, or before the right number of drinks, or after too many drinks, the Kavanaugh lesson to him is that his future could be ruined. Yet if your son doesn't initiate, or he initiates with too much caution, or lets too long a time go before he initiates at all, then he fears he could be thought of as a wimp, or here, you know, you're such a sweet guy, I'd love to just be friends. And we all know what that means.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Farrell, we got to take a quick break. We've got more from Dr. Warren Farrell. We're talking the boy crisis here on Bill Martinez Live 18 before the top of the hour. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians that work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access your health care, so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237. That number again, 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs, because this is the way it should be. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154.
That's 800-596-2154.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, lots of defecation in the oscillation, no doubt, right? You know what I'm talking about. Dr. Warren Farrell continues with us, author of books published in 17 languages. He and John Gray have really blessed our culture. I want to say this. I was saying this to Dr. Farrell a moment ago. I am so grateful, and these words are just not enough to express my gratefulness to Dr. Farrell and John Gray for all their hard work that they did in putting this book, The Boy Crisis, together. Lots of research. If you really want to get down to the basis and see what's happening, especially for those of us who have young boys and grandchildren that are there and having to deal with our society right now to what has become the campus rape culture, how it's gone mainstream, what has been done with I would say both Dr. Ford and with Judge Kavanaugh in our political system. It is shameful, you know, what is going on, and this is the culture in which we live in, Dr. Farrell, and it scares me, frankly.
Absolutely. And the first part of it, you know, the fact that women are speaking up about what offends them, what hurts them, and what makes them feel powerless, and how long that's remained inside of them. I am very glad about that portion of the hashtag MeToo culture. The problem is that in male-female relationships, hashtag MeToo should be both the female and the male.
I'm glad here. I'm glad you said that, because I think boys, I don't blame them for being confused. I mean, this hookup culture that we have, you know, casual sex that takes place, high school campuses, college campuses, it is so routine. I mean, even reading back on, Dr. Ford's annual information that came out there that at her girls' school, the big thing for seniors was to, was to bet a sophomore. That was, give some young man, I guess, his right of entry to manhood, and they were going to be the ones that, entered him in to this next stage of life, and that was their conquest. And, this was something that was part and parcel of the culture there at that all-girls school. Can't talk about that, though.
Yes, and we have to, you know, we really know and understand that this, you know, that we're getting so many mixed messages that can only be solved by dialogue, not by this monologue. When you have hashtag Me Too, the whole concept of Me Too only meaning women, that, you know, that really is an amazing. I spent the entire weekend conducting a couples communication workshop in New York, and the idea of, you know, the whole concept of the workshop is for both people in the workshop to be able to hear each other non-defensively and to get rid of our biological propensity to defend ourselves when we're criticized. And the hashtag Me Too culture is making it so clear that the only person who is to be believed is women. And I do believe that women need to be believed, but that their story is what they perceive that story to be, and the man's story is what he perceives his story to be.
Exactly.
And those two, and in the university, when I have consulted with couples, I did a lot of role reversal dates in men's beauty contests, where I asked every woman to experience, every man to experience the beauty contest of everyday life that women go through, and every man to, and every woman to experience the fear of sexual rejection that men go through when they initiate. And then that led me to talking with a lot of couples that counselors referred me to, that felt that they had date rape experiences, and almost always I was able to guide the couple through her absolutely convincing story that this is what the man did, and his absolutely convincing story that this is what she did, and they both selectively saw the different messages that they gave in body language and in words and in implication, and they came out of it with exactly what a university education is supposed to provide, which is an education as to how messages can be selectively used to reinforce what you would like to have from that message. And oftentimes the women wanted a more long-term relationship, and they didn't want to give it up, so they gave the man certain no hints and certain yes hints, but they only remembered retrospectively the no hints. Mm-hmm. The man remembered retrospectively the yes hints. And when he shared those with her, she was like, oh, yeah, God, I guess that's true. And when she shared those with him, his response was the same. I didn't really, yes, I guess you're right. I do remember that now that you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of education we need to be giving our sons and daughters, one where it's safe for both sexes to explore the misinterpretations of their sexuality and experience. And here is two deeper problems. One is when we give our grandsons, or you're in my case, our grandsons, the message that sex is only a potential trap for him that could ruin his future in life, even if he becomes as powerful and learned and as Judge Kavanaugh, what he does is he turns to pornography, because pornography gives him an access to a variety of attractive women without fear of rejection, mm-hmm. and at a price that he could afford, if you will. But it releases your son's dopamine only by increasingly risky virtual sex with increasingly airbrushed women, mm-hmm. that no woman can live up to the increasing risks.
Exactly.
So when he actually gets into a relationship with a real woman, or hopes to, he finds that the woman is turned off by his propensity to objectify and want a riskier behavior than she's comfortable with, which only convinces him he's a loser in the male-female sexual game, which then only turns him back to more pornography, which reinforces the problem, of course.
And let's not even talk about virtual reality stuff that's going on, too. So that is all, that's all very scary. As you and I talked about at the break, in this information age in which we live in, what I am discerning is that people are crying out for the connection that you can only have when you communicate. And this is what you're talking about here. If our defenses are up, and let's just say, you know, from a male perspective, clearly, that if a woman comes to that point to say, wow, I did something wrong, you know, I gave up a personal side of myself, maybe in a way in which I wouldn't. And so now the only way for me to have any kind of excuse for doing that is that, yeah, I convinced myself that I was raped. It was a date rape. That's what it was. It was a date rape. So now I'm not as guilty. How much of that comes into play in this?
Well, a lot of it comes into play, and the Air Force did a study a number of years ago on, you know, what percentage of the claims for rape were false, what was uncertain, and what was clearly rape. And they found that more than 40% of them were excuses for they didn't get back to the place of their site on time, and they were late, and they said, well, and they were out with a guy, and so they said that they were raped, or they had a boyfriend that they didn't call, and they were jeopardizing that relationship, and rather than say that, and they said that they were raped, and this was after lie detector tests, and after three judges from both sexes evaluated both the girls and the guys' stories, but it is important to believe every woman and investigate. But we are all. But if we really want to get to solutions to the problems, we have to do. We have to ask our daughters to begin to train and ask our daughters to share the responsibility for taking the sexual initiatives. Right now, we have a culture that says, women, you do have the option when you're an adolescent to initiate, but guys, you have the expectation. And so you can ask the guy out, but when you ask the guy out, he's still the one that's expected to take the hand the first time when it's a potential sexual encounter, and the first one to kiss you, and the first one to tongue kiss you, and the first one to touch you in a more genitally sensitive place. And the woman can say yes or no, and so we still have option versus expectation. And here's the problem. Our women are looking at the world and saying, you know, all the people who are the entrepreneurs and the risk takers, they're all men. That's discrimination against me. But it's the real discrimination against our daughters is not expecting them and not expecting them to share the responsibilities for risking the sexual rejection, because when girls learn to, if girls are protected from taking and sharing the risks when they're young, they do not get the training to take the risks that is the common denominator of all the successful billionaire entrepreneurs who are almost 100% males.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Farrell, I got to tell you, being a man of faith, I lean on what God says, and God's clear in His Word how we are to address these issues. If we, as in the Song of Solomon, which I think is probably one of the best romantic novels in the Bible, it's a really sexy expose about the relationship, the male female dance here. If we wake love up before it's time, we open up avenues of consequences that are impactful, that rhyme with the things that are happening today in our culture. Is all this is because we have violated principles that I believe that are well ordained and that caution us. But if we're not going to do this, and I understand there's argument on the other side that yes, if we have pent up desires, this could lead to pornography and other complicated issues. But it's like, you know, here it is. We've been in an era and a culture of free love, and we are reaping, as Judge Kavanaugh said, we really are reaping the whirlwind of our own sexual madness.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things I think we have to realize if we're faith-based people is that, you know, that God created both sexes. And whenever only one sex wins, both sexes lose.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Dr. Warren Farrell, his book, The Boy Crisis, I'll tell you, this is a must book and must reading for you, especially today with the topics that we're dealing with and what we're trying to talk and what we're trying to solve here, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Farrell, as always, an honor to have you with us. Thank you.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in.
Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the